I just am so excited to be here with you all. But what I want to do is, and Tom's going to do this upstairs too, is go over with you kind of what we do when we do marriage counseling. Tom's been involved, and I'm kind of in on it sometimes. Tom mainly does it because he's a pastor. But I'm in on it part of the time because I'm involved with a girl sometimes. But we're going to go through, I'm going to go through the five questions that he asks. So if you want to write these down, this is great. The five questions he asks anybody that comes in and says, "Hey, we want to get married." Well, first of all, he says, it's going to take a while, several months. We're going to work through these things. And these are the five things we work through. All right, the first one, can you guess what it might be? Somebody said, are you a Christian? Yeah, salvation. And not just, yeah, I think I made a decision back when I was seven. No, he's talking about a living, vital relationship with the Lord, an active relationship. And he talks to both the guy and the girl. And make sure it's not the girl dragging the guy to church. There's been a lot of those, as you know, that have ended up pretty sad. But it's got to be a strong, vital relationship. And the reason is, marriage is God's idea. It wasn't man's idea. It was God's idea. And marriage is a covenant. It's not a contract. A contract is based on mutual distrust. Between two people. A covenant of marriage is based on a mutual trust, the two of you together with God. So it's totally different. So that's why he wants to make sure. And so if you're not marrying a Christian, how can you relate? I mean, I know several people say, oh, well, I was able to win my husband to the Lord after we've been married several years. Yeah, but then there's several years that you're not in union. You know, you really don't have a good picture and a good relationship. You know, when you're lost, when you don't have Jesus, you're alive in your body, your physical body. You're alive in your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotion. But you're not alive in your spirit. So if you're a believer and you're going to marry someone, you want to marry someone that's alive in your spirit so you can relate in all areas of life. So, and also the third reason he wants to make sure you're a Christian is that marriage is a picture of salvation. You know, the Bible teaches us and that and several scriptures about that. And y'all, I'm just ripping through these because we've just got 30 minutes. Okay. The second thing that Tom talks to people, and I do too when we're doing marriage and counseling, is being scripturally free to marry. Now, most of you all are not, this is not going to be an issue with you all because you've not been married before. But many people that come to be married say, we got our divorce last week with our former mates and we want to get married next week, you know. Well, the issue of marriage is so important. Did you know that 30% of the adults in Oklahoma have been divorced? I mean, it's a bad, bad thing. If I were to ask you, how many of you come from broken homes, I bet there would be a lot of you that would say, I did. I came from a broken home. So what we want to do is get a picture of what a home is supposed to look like, not on our own homes. My home was not a broken home, but it was cracked in some ways. My parents were pretty unstable, although they never divorced. But they were very unstable. And I really had to do some working on myself to understand what a proper, godly home was like. So, being scripturally free to marry. And what I mean by that is, we've got Bill and Mary. Let's say they're married and they get a divorce. And Bill meets somebody and he just falls in love with her immediately and says he wants to marry her. And he comes to Tom, and Tom says, well, what about your former wife? Oh, well, God didn't mean for us to be together. God didn't mean for us to be together. Well, yeah, he did. And he really, God intended for Bill to stand for his marriage until there was no chance of them ever getting married again. And the only way that would happen would be if his former wife, Mary, had married someone else. So it's really a difficult thing. I remember there was a one couple that we were counseling, and I don't want to use their names because they live here in Oklahoma. They were dating, and both of them had been previously married. And so Tom talked to them. They did the first step. Yes, they were believers. Second step, are you scripturally free to marry? And the young man said, well, I don't know what you mean by that, but I couldn't get back to my former wife because she's married someone else. And Tom said, well, the scripture forbids that, really, in Deuteronomy. You could not go back and marry if she'd married someone else and then divorced him. So then he went to the girl, and he said, what about your situation? And she said, well, my former husband is not married. And he said, well, really what God, the very best for your two boys, she had two boys, would be for you to get back to your former husband. And so here she is sitting with this guy. She's come to the office to talk to Tom about getting married with. And she said, oh my goodness, I don't know if I could do that. And so he talked to her about how marriage is a covenant with God, and how even though that guy was not a Christian, the best thing would be for them to get back together. And so she and this young man she was dating decided, okay, that's what we're going to do. We're going to see if that will work out. If I can go back, because that really would be best for my children. So she, many, many tears, a lot of hardship, she goes back and tries to contact her former husband, who told her she was out of her mind and he was getting married next week to somebody else and she needed to drop dead. Well, she was kind of sad and glad at the same time. But see, she, and that guy did go on and marry some gal next week, and then 2 years later another guy went, and then 2 years later. But anyway, but the whole point was her willingness to lay down this, it was kind of the Abraham Isaac thing, lay down this person that she loved and go back to what God's plan was for her to stay with her first husband, but he wouldn't do it. And then God gave her the desire of her heart and this wonderful guy. We got a card. This couple did marry. Tom married him a couple months later. We got a wonderful card from them, and they said, our life together, our lives before we married was so mixed up, so out of God's plan, but God has now put us on the right track. And so most of you all will not face that because most of y'all have never been married before. But I just thought I'd cover that because it is something that has to be covered in this world. Okay. The third step is parental blessing. And we really, really encourage parental blessing, not just parental, oh, okay, you can marry him. We want the parents to really and truly give their blessing for this marriage. Tom has twice, both of them, just a second, I got some water. Twice while we were in Tulsa, Tom pastored in Tulsa for 9 years, there were two times that one of our deacons said, one time it was the father and one time it was the mother, said, when they were meeting with Thomas, meeting with the couple and the parents, and the mother said, I just something that's keeping me back from this. And they backed up and looked at some things, and it wasn't too long until the guy disappeared. He just got out of the situation. Turned out he was not really saved, and the Lord just saved this girl from getting in a big, bad situation. And she met a neat guy later on and married. So, but what I'm saying is what we really want is parental blessing. There's a lady in my Sunday school class, and parental blessing is a really important thing in a lot of areas of your life. This girl in my Sunday school class has a daughter, or she actually has three daughters, but her oldest daughter delayed going to college because they just didn't have the money for it. And so Jennifer worked and worked and worked and finally got started in college when she was about, I think 26, she finally got started in college. So she was an older college student. She's done real, real well. And last summer, she was 28 years old, she wanted to go to Argentina to work with some folks that are in our church that are missionaries in Argentina. And she's, Jennifer still lived at home. And her mom and dad said, Jennifer, we just worried about you flying by yourself, not with a group, but by yourself to Argentina. And she said, Mom, it's not that far, and these people I'm going to work with are wonderful. There's not terrorists in Argentina like there are in, Cyprus where the sky upstairs was. I mean, this is just simple. And her parents just said, oh, Jennifer, we just wish you wouldn't. And so finally she said, okay. So we suggested that she work with somebody in the States, with some kind of mission organization in the States. And she found something in Kentucky, which her mom and dad said, fine, great. I mean, she's 28 years old, surely. Jennifer goes up to Kentucky, works in a children's ministry in some downtown area in the Louisville area. Real rough situation. And guess what? She met this wonderful guy that's 29, has never married, and they're getting married this summer. See what agreeing with your parents does? I mean, that was just, and Jennifer never dreamed. I mean, she was almost at the point she thought, I'll never marry. I just need to accept it. She was 28. And now we're just a little bit worried because she's so goofy. But her parents love Darren, and he is a wonderful, godly man. He wants to work with four children, and that's just exactly what Jennifer's heart is. So parental blessing in any area of your life is important, but specifically in the area of who you go with. I remember when I was dating Tom, most of the boys I dated my dad didn't like, but when Tom came along, it was kind of the deal. He'd come to the house, and he and Tom and my dad would go start talking, and I was kind of like, me? I'm the one you came to stick out, because they just hit it off so great. And that was such a wonderful blessing, and has been all my life, to know that my parents loved the person that I married. And that's the way we felt about each of our children. I remember when Tony, our first son-in-law, our oldest daughter's husband, came to ask Beth out. He told Tom at church, he said, I'd like to take Beth to get a Coke. And Tom said, is she thirsty? Tony was just petrified. I remember the first time he ate with us at our family at the table. Of course, he was the first son-in-law, so he was the first new addition to our family. And I was sitting here, he was right here, and Beth was next to him. So we hold hands around the table when we pray. So we held hands, and Tony's hand was just cold and trembling, poor little thing. But I felt sorry for him. But he was just exactly what our daughter needed. Beth's a very strong personality, has to be with eight kids. And he is exactly what she needed. And we knew it when we met him. In fact, when he came to us and asked us, can I propose to your daughter Beth? And we said, yes. And he said, how do you know I'm the one? And I said, Tony, we have prayed for you since she was born. We knew we'd know you. And it's been really sweet. Tony proposed to her on the 1st of December, 16 years ago. And every 1st of December, he calls us or writes us a little note and says, thank you for letting me propose to your daughter, and thank you for letting me have your daughter. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, it is just precious. And we love this guy. He's just wonderful. And then our second daughter's husband was a similar situation. Not exactly, but similar situation, and we just adore him. Our third daughter's husband, Sarah, all of our kids' dating situations were totally different. None of them were the same. Our third daughter, Sarah, and her husband, they dated for 5 years. And in fact, there was even a period of time we made them break up. And I'll tell you about that in a little bit. But it's been so neat to be a part, our kids have let us be a part of their engagement, of enjoying and having fun and getting to know their mates. That's just been wonderful. And having your parents' blessing. Well, you might say, well, what if my parents are Christians? How would they know? They're your parents, and they'll know. And listen to them. And what a wonderful way. Many times, it's been about 4 years ago, there was a young guy on our staff. He was a youth assistant, and he and this gal were going to get married. Tom did the wedding for him, did all this counseling, met with the parents, and Zane said, my dad's lost. My dad is lost as he can be. He's an angry, bitter, lost guy. And so they came to the meeting. The parents came to the meeting, and Tom got to talk to this guy and got to present the gospel to him. And he sat there, this angry, hard, bitter guy, sat there with tears in his eyes and said, I've never heard it like this. Well, Zane's in the ministry, and his dad wasn't saved right then, but his dad's heart, because of wanting to seek his dad's approval, his heart was opened to the gospel. And Zane still has moved to another state now, but we keep up with him. His dad's really getting close. So even if your parents aren't Christians, let them be included in this. And say, this is the way we do it. This is the way Christians should do it. They should ask their parents. Well, I will honor your parents if you'll do that. Okay, so parental blessing, not just agreement. All right, this next one is the one that is hardest to tell college girls. It's the one that meets with the most, we don't like this. But it's the one later on that we get thanked for the most. And that is that the husband, or the future husband, should be vocationally focused. In other words, he needs to know what he's going to do. He needs to know how he's going to take care of you. And you say, but I have this wonderful education. I have this degree. And my parents are paying for this degree, and they'll think I'm wasting it if I don't pursue some. Let me just say, God intended for your husband to take care of you. Yes, sure, you can do some kind of part-time something or help him, work with him. We've got a couple in our church that are in a business together, and she works right beside him at work every day, and just fabulous. But so many marriages are struggling today because she's got her work, and he's got his work, and they come home exhausted and spend a couple hours at home together, go to bed, and then get up and leave again. They don't have any time where she's encouraging him. She's building him up. She's working with him to help him be the kind of person he wants to be. So you say, well, what am I going to college for? Huh? What am I wasting all this? Why don't I just go out and get a job? Well, don't you want to be mentally able to discuss things with your husband? Don't you want to be able to have a conversation with somebody on a different topic other than just fluff novels? You really want to. Yeah, I know y'all probably read those, I'm sure. but sure, get your degree. I remember somebody saying to me one time, go ahead and get your degree. Because it's good to have something to fall back on. What if something happens to your husband? What if he dies? Then you would have something to fall back on. But the husband needs to be vocationally focused. So many times, and this was even true when we were in seminary, the husband's in school. He's taken 10 hours. And Tom said, I see these guys over at seminary, and they're taking 10 hours. Their poor little wife's teaching school all day, working hard. And they play, after they take their 10 hours, they're playing ping pong and goofing around because she's putting him through seminary, see. That's not right. That's not a right picture. The picture, you know, when he gets ready to graduate from seminary, he's not ready to work full time because he's been playing half the time. He needs to be able to pay her way, to support her in a way that would be proper and right. You know, when Tom and I were first married, I didn't work outside the home. I did several little projects in the home, out of my home, little minor things that kind of were okay. And we didn't have children for us the first few years. And it was a little bit difficult because I was kind of like, what do I do? But then it dawned on me, wait a minute, he's pastoring this church. And I need to work with the women at the church. So I started getting involved at the church and what I was and how I could help him there. And then I thought, wait a minute, he's bringing all these books home from seminary. I need to read some of these books. And so I started getting interested in what he was studying. It was a wonderful thing because it began to be a teamwork type thing. I was encouraging him. He was taking care of me. Now, how that works out with you, where you are, whoever God brings in your life, I don't know. It's all kinds of different ways. That's got to help you be creative. So many women I know work out of their home, do things in their home. We've got this awesome computer programmer girl that works. She's married. Her husband works at our church. And they have two little girls. Well, she can't work outside her home. I mean, she just can't. She won't leave her little girls. But she handles all this stuff out of her home on her computer while the girls are napping. I mean, she does it. She's a whiz. What a great job for her, because she can do something, and yet she's still taking care of her precious little girl. So, but this is a hard thing, because this is so weird these days. I mean, you go to the typical church, even our church, and where we teach this, and there are so many women who work outside their home. Do you know, Tom has counseled a lot of people whose marriages have been in trouble, and he's never had to counsel a situation where a woman had been unfaithful that she did not also work outside her home. There's so many temptations for us and for men if there's women all around them all the time. Tom will probably say this upstairs, but it's just a good... It works better if there's guys in the room. He'll say, how many of you guys have ever gone into a restroom and saw a couple of guys crying over something that was said to them? And they'll go, nobody raises their hand. So then he says, how many of you women have ever walked into a restroom, seen someone crying over something that was said to them? Every woman in the room raises their hand. And it's because words affect us more than they do men. They just do. So we go to a job and we internalize and the boss says, if we don't have more sales, we're gonna go bankrupt. Well, the woman goes home and she says, oh my goodness, we've got to sell more or we're gonna, you know, go bankrupt. And she worries about it all night long. The guys go home and say, we gotta work harder. That's it. So what I'm saying is we're just made different, y'all. We need to be cared for. Oh, sure, we're tough. I mean, there's a lot of things we as women can do. I remember when our second daughter, Avery and David had their first child. David was there during the delivery, and she didn't have any kind of medication, which the later one she did. She said, I'm not doing that again. But she wanted to do it natural the first time. And David came out, and he was white as a sheet. The baby was born, everything was fine. But David was as white as a sheet. He said, I have climbed mountains. I have hiked for days. I have never done anything that tough. That was rough. But, I mean, women are built to do some things. We're tough. We can handle some things. But some things we're just not meant to handle. And so just Hey, be what God created us to be. God really wants us to work with our husbands. He wants us to be a team. The world so needs a team, some teamwork. The world needs to see couples that work together, that do things together, that she supports him. And what's wrong with being second in view? You know, it's okay. Sometimes it's better to be the person that has influence than the person that's out there talking. I mean, I have tremendous influence on my husband. I mean, literally, I could ruin his life. I mean, I could. I mean, that is an awesome thing to think about. I mean, it's an awesome. I mean, I could. But what I'm saying is, I have such influence with him. I could ruin him. But I don't want to. My joy is to work with him and be a team with him. Okay, that's number four. Let me see if I've said everything I want to say. Yep. I think it is. Oh, one other thing. The scripture in Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all your need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus." We have the husband is the groom, which is Jesus, a picture of Jesus. The wife is the bride, a picture of the church. But the scripture says that God will supply our needs through Jesus. So if we picture our husband as the one supplying the need, we can see that picture really beautifully. And when the world sees that, they say, how does that work? And there are couples in our church that you think, how do they make it? But they do. God just brings blessing after blessing to them because they put their marriage together right. Okay, the last point is, before we'll do a marriage in our church, is you have to be bringing out the best in each other, Okay, so couple, Susie and Freddie come in to do marriage counseling, and they go through all these things, and Tom comes to this point, and he says, now, are you all bringing out the best in each other? And they go, you know, they're pickled. And Tom, my husband, is very blunt. I'm a little more discreet sometimes. He usually says, are y'all sleeping together? And then they're saying, oh, yeah, but, you know, we're getting married, and it's okay. But that's not bringing out the best in each other. Because God intended for you to wait until you're married to have sexual union with each other. There's many other ways to bring out the best in each other. One of the ways occurred with our daughter, Sarah. I alluded to it just a little bit ago. Sarah and Greg dated for 5 years, and Sarah's still like this. She's a little blonde, you know what I mean, kind of. Well, you know, she's so happy all the time. Anyway, and everything's great and wonderful, and, oh, Greg is so handsome. Don't you think he's a handsome mom? She's like, did me that. Still, she still says that. And he is. He's a handsome guy. But Sarah and Greg, they dated for these 5 years, and they were so consumed. In this book we've written, the chapter they wrote is called Consumed But With Whom? And they tell this story. But they were so consumed with each other. I mean, and you know couples like this. You walk into a room, there's a bunch of people, and the couple's over in the corner just looking at each other, and they don't notice anybody else. They ignore everybody else, as a matter of fact. And that's kind of cute for a while, but when they ignore people in their family, when they ignore people that are new in church, that they're just so into each other, they've forgotten the rest of the world. That's when we told Greg and Sarah, they have been dating for several years, like 3 or 4 years, and we said, we think you all need to stop dating. And, of course, they just about, Greg tells that he drove away from my house. He thought it was the end of the world, thought he was going to die. You know, this, you know how you are about things and things like that. And it's really sweet the way he tells the story. But I want you to know it was about, I can't remember if it was 6 or 8 months, but a period of time they did not have any contact with each other. And they did it. They quit. But then after that 8 month period, Greg came back and said, I started all over again. He said, may I date your daughter, Sarah? And they started dating, and then they got married a few months later. But we saw that they were not bringing out the best in each other. We saw they were so consumed with each other. When Greg came back to date Sarah again, such maturity, I cannot tell you. It was like, I mean, he was a great kid before, but he was a great man when he came back. And she was a great girl, but she was a great woman when they started dating again. It was a wonderful situation. Of course, they worked at a church in Texas for 5 years while he was in seminary, and he loved to tell that story to his youth because he said, you know, don't go with someone if they're not gonna, you're not gonna bring out the best in them, each other. It's just so important. All right, are you active in church together? Do you bring out the best in each other? Is one of you dragging the other to church? You know, all these things really make a difference in a marriage. Okay, those are the 5 steps. Now, I think we have about 10 minutes before we're supposed to end. Yeah, like 4 minutes. Does anybody have any questions that maybe I didn't cover or you thought of or something you had to... Any ideas? I'm always looking for more ideas. Anybody? Yeah.
I had a really hard time with the parental thing. My parents told me to have, I'll probably never live there again. And then getting to know my parents and whoever I date or anything.
You just need to pray for a miracle. Her parents live in Kentucky. She'll probably never live there again. Pray for a miracle. God will work it out. Most of our kids lived in town when they met each other. But God can work miracles, like this couple that I just told you about, Jennifer Ryder, that's 29, and her fiancé. Their two families wanted to meet each other. They met, in fact, he lives in Kentucky. They met, drove up halfway, met in Branson, I think. And the families hit it off great. So there'll have to be something like that. The Lord will just have to do something like that. Anybody else got anything? Y'all had all your questions answered and all your needs met? This is an awesome group. Anybody else got anything that you can think of? Anything you could add to my ideas? Any questions? And you think, I don't like that idea. I don't mind somebody saying, I'm not sure I believe that or agree with that. Anybody? Y'all are so quiet. Yay, a brave person. Sure. Go ahead. Okay. Just a question. No boy she's thinking of. Do you honestly think you're going to be drawn to somebody like that?
I don't.
Y'all, we've got to pray for this girl. Well, you know, and that's the whole thing. You need to pray that God will lead you to the kind of person that could be your leader. You know, you're, if he stinks, I mean, you're not going to go with somebody like that. But you know, a lot of times a guy wants a mommy. He doesn't want a girlfriend. He wants a mommy to take care of him and wash his clothes for him and take care of him. And we have to be very careful because that mommy instinct in us comes out, and we think, oh, this poor art major that majors in sculpture that sings. He needs somebody to counsel him about deodorant or something, you know. And we try to help this kid. You know, and but that's not what God called us to do. He called us to be led by someone. And it's really hard to sometimes, even my husband, as strong as he is, sometimes I have to back up because I catch myself. Because I was raised in a home where the woman was in control all the time of everything, I have to back up and say, wait a minute, even as strong as he is, I have to let him lead out because I want to run it. I could run the whole church, you know, I feel like I could, but I really can't, you know. And so I have to back up and let him, and God just verifies that over and over again. But it is, there is that caution that we have to watch out for because we do want to mother these guys that we date sometimes. Okay, anybody else? I think it's time. They're bringing out cookies and stuff. The guys are not stopping, so let's just, I tell you what, let's close with a prayer and then we'll go have the cookies and stuff. Lord, I just thank you so much that we don't have to wander in this world and wonder what to do with our lives. Lord, you've given us a pattern. You've given us your word. You've given us a picture in your word of what marriage is supposed to be. Oh, Lord, keep us close to your word. Keep us trusting in you. Lord, help us not to go out on our own. Help us not to try to make decisions without you. Lord, we love you and we thank you so much that you've given us direction. And I pray, Lord, for each one of these girls in here that you'll just really give them clear direction and give them patience to wait for that one guy that's out there for them. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.